Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch, and I'm here in studio in Southfield, Michigan at the PodcastDetroit.com building. And I'm flying solo today because my co-host Mike Brennan is overseas, but he is on the line right now to tell us what he's up to. Mike, greetings from Tel Aviv.
Shalom. Yes, I'm in Tel Aviv. I'm at the 7th annual Cyber Week conference being held at Tel Aviv University. Guest of the Israeli foreign government, the foreign ministry, and they brought in about 20 journalists from around the world who cover cybersecurity to cover what happened at the conference. And today was day one. Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke and talked about how Israel is a big cybersecurity country and wants to work with a lot of different other countries that want to understand better how that public-private cooperation works in Israel and makes it so effective. And in fact, the U.S. Government was folks were here today, and Assistant Secretary to Trump, he's head of Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, and they announced that the United States and Israel now are going to start working together to make the United States apparatus for keeping the bad guys out of computer networks run by the government, run by business, more effective, because the Israelis really got this down cold. Good news there, right?
Absolutely. All right, so about how many people are attending this conference?
Oh, there's about 20 journalists from all over the place. Four Americans, and then we have Italians and Germans, and we have Filipinos, we have Japanese, we have Indians, we have a lot of folks from South America, Chile, and Brazil. And so we're at a dinner right now. It's about 10 o'clock at night in Israel, and very lovely night, about 80 degrees. We're having a wonderful meal with wine, and very European, you know, and so it's been going great. This is the third day that I've been here. I got four more to go. I'll be back in Michigan on Saturday, July 1st.
Well, Mike, I know that ransomware is the big security concern these days in the U.S. Is that also true in Israel, or what are their big security concerns?
Well, just keeping the bad guys out of the network. There's a lot of really powerful Israeli security companies. Checkpoint, for instance, was started in Israel 24 years ago. It's now a $1.7 billion corporation. And the CEO of Checkpoint was one of the folks that briefed us today. And their function, their products are just to keep them out of the network. They have like this center section. People, if the bad guy comes in, they get trapped in this area, and then if they aren't supposed to be in there, then they can't get any farther into the network. So it stops them before they can get in. Mobileye, another big one that's very big with autonomous vehicles, recently purchased by Intel for some billions of dollars. That's another Israeli company. There's something in the neighborhood of 300 Israeli companies that are big in cybersecurity. Part of that is that it's mandatory military service in Israel. All women and men of 18 have to go into the military, and a lot of them then go into cyber careers, or at least cyber areas, get all those skills together. Some of them stay in the military, some of them go into business, but I mean, it's a training ground. And they're starting a new program they just announced that they're going to have cyber training for third graders. It's going to start that young, where they're bringing up very young, 9 or 10 year olds, who will want to get plugged into cybersecurity and then gradually bring them up to speed. And by the time, you know, they matriculate and they go into the military, they're really good at what they do.
Hmm. So obviously, you know, Israel is a country surrounded by more or less hostile neighbors.
Hostile people, yeah.
How does that sort of translate to, you know, I know militarily they fight way above their weight class. I would imagine the same is true in cyber.
Yeah, what it was, we were briefed by the father of the cybersecurity industry on Sunday. I can't pronounce his name and don't ask me to. He told us that in 2003, he began to realize that the power grid was vulnerable because they were beginning to plug it into the internet. And he realized that it was just wide open, of course, something that we've all realized since then. And so they really built up an infrastructure program to make sure all that stuff, like the water treatment, the transportation, the phones, communications, everything, was cyber secure. And by doing that, they were way ahead of the power curve. So they got all this expertise before everybody else caught up, and they've managed to stay ahead of everybody else because of all that knowledge base. And it's reflected in the fact that there's some huge number, like $100 billion spent every year on cybersecurity, and about 20% of that comes to Israel, a country of 8.5 million people, the size of New Jersey.
Right.
So their cybersecurity is they're another branch of their military, and they're very good at that.
So what's the university like?
You know, we've just seen certain classrooms and auditoriums, but it's a lot heavy security, obviously. It's not quite in downtown Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is a very big city, about 3 million people.
Okay.
Right on the water. I mean, our hotel is right on the Mediterranean Sea, so that's really nice. You know, just it looks like your typical, you know, college, university. But they focus more on the STEM type stuff, more so than we do in the States. Science, technology, engineering, math. I mean, that's really big here. We should probably, and that's why I guess the U.S. is partnering with Israel, is to learn the best practices from what they've been doing.
Sure. So what are some of the other publications and media outlets that are represented there?
We got just a variety of people. There's only three other American journalists. One is from Washington, D.C., and he worked, I don't think he works for the Post, but he might. We really haven't talked shop that much. But a lot of them work for major papers or major news outlets around the world, in Japan, in India, in Chile, in Brazil, in Germany, and all those publications. We don't have the list in front of me, but they're fairly powerful ones. And so that's obviously what the Israelis want us to do. Is we're having a wonderful time here, learning all sorts of wonderful things, and they want us to write about it. So, yeah, what the heck, you know? But it's good stories. I already filed a couple stories today, and I want to get back to the hotel. I'll do some more. And then we're going to Beersheba on Wednesday, which is the equivalent of Israel's Silicon Valley. So we're going to meet a lot of really interesting companies out there, and that'll be a lot more fodder for me to write about.
Sure. And these folks found you, right? I mean, this sort of came out of the blue, this invitation?
Yeah, I didn't apply for anything. They just contacted me a couple of months ago and asked me about my background and my audience and all that. And then about 3-4 weeks ago, said, pack your bags, you're going to Israel. I was an honor. You know, there's only two guys from the Midwest, another gentleman here from Minnesota. And then, of course, the fellow from Washington. And there's one other guy, and I can't recall where he's from, but there's four Americans. The other 16 are from around the world, and it's kind of fun. It's like it's a big troop. We get in a bus and go everywhere together. We eat together. We drink together. You know, we go to these events together. So it's really nice people. I'm really enjoying myself.
And who organized the event?
The Israeli Foreign Ministry.
Okay.
But Netanyahu was behind it. He was. Yeah, his office was represented in a briefing we had today. He wanted to, you know, share the good news about Israel cybersecurity. And in his speech today at the forum, where he sort of welcomed everybody, he reminded everyone that cybersecurity is big business and Israel is involved in it. And we want to help you get involved, get your cybersecurity apparatus much better, and we can make money together doing that. So I mean, he was really selling it.
All right, Mike, we're inside of a minute, so I'm gonna ask you this question that you have asked a lot of other people. What's the website to go to if you want to learn more about the International Cyber Week at Tel Aviv University?
Why, of course, that'd be www.mitechnews.com, where we already have some stories posted, and I'm going to have a video up there shortly of Netanyahu's speech and all sorts of great stuff. So just go to my website, check it out, and we'll be covering all week long from here.
Okay. And, folks, I did want to remind you that we will be taking next Monday, July 3rd, off. So Mike and I will be back. Hopefully by July 10th, he'll be all recovered from his jet lag, and we'll be back with our regular programming on Monday, July 10th. But for right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan calling in from Israel.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, part of the PodcastDetroit.com network, and we'll be right back. it's Matt Rausch, and I'm back flying solo today on the M Squared TechCast. My co-host Mike Brennan is at the International Cyber Week Conference in Tel Aviv, Israel. And we just had a real interesting conversation with him, and we're about to have another one with Tricia Walding of the Workforce Intelligence Network for Southeast Michigan. Tricia, welcome.
Well, hello, Matt. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem at all. So tell us, you're here today to talk about the recently released Connected and Automated Vehicle Social Network Analysis. So tell me, first of all, I guess, a little bit about what that is.
Absolutely. The Connected and Automated Vehicle Social Network Analysis, we unfortunately love long names over here sometimes. It is a study that we did to better understand how organizations within the connected and automated vehicle space are related to each other. So we went through a process of researching newspaper articles, researching websites, really publicly available data, and we were able to identify about 351 nodes or organizations that are working within that space in Southeast Michigan. And we were able to identify about 1,400 relationships between them. So this resulted in a big map. The map is so large, in fact, that we have had a difficult time putting that map onto paper in order to distribute it in a readable format. So we wanted to better understand who's connected with whom in order to figure out how we could cause more collaboration and make the ecosystem for that industry in Southeast Michigan even stronger.
All right. So what is a social network analysis, and why is this helpful in evaluating this connected and automated vehicle space?
Well, a social network analysis is a mathematical and a visual method for figuring out the social network. So some people, when I say social network, they think of Facebook or Twitter. Really, it's just how are people organized, who's speaking and working with whom. So it turns out looking like a big, huge web, a big, huge spider web. And that results in someone being able to look at the map. And let's say that they really want to, let's say that they really want to work with Magma, one of the convening organizations, but they don't know how to get into Magma. They can look at this map and say, okay, Ford Motor Company is part of Magma, and I know someone at Ford. Let me call that person and see if they know how to get in. It's a method of really figuring out how to connect with others within the industry.
All right. So where did you get your list of the 350 some organizations? What was the basic research source on this?
The basic research source was publicly available data. So Okay. We combed through, I believe it was 70 newspaper articles, and then we did what's called a snowball sampling. So over a certain time period, basically last year, we did all of this research into any media that we could in Southeast Michigan, especially, and we were able to identify a number of news articles, including My Tech News. We did use you as a source a few times, and we were able to identify, again, many of the nodes that I just mentioned, the 351. I think we were able to identify about 100 in the first round of research. And then we did the snowball sampling. So we either went to those organizations that were identified, or we went to their websites, and we were able to look at the other nodes or companies that were identified as working with them specifically regarding connected and automated vehicles.
So what are some of the key findings of the report?
Well, the key finding is that location is important. So on that big map, we found that the people who are central, more center located within the map, tend to be more influential. So that includes a few of the people you would typically expect or the companies you would typically expect, but the top five influencers are General Motors, Ford Motor Company, the University of Michigan, the American Center for Mobility, as well as the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. That one in particular we thought was interesting because they've had a number of initiatives, including the Planet M initiative, that is really, you know, bringing some of the connected and automated vehicle industry in Southeast Michigan to light, not only in Michigan, but also in other areas. So one of the ways that we would like to use this research is, you know, there's this constant kind of argument that Silicon Valley is taking over the automotive industry. I think we can probably acknowledge that there are some strengths that we can take from Silicon Valley in their development of software, but this map and this research really can establish Southeast Michigan as still being the capital of the automotive community and the capital of the world in automotive. So because we have so many people working in this area, because we have so many software developers also working in this region, we can identify that we are still a very strong industry. We are moving forward technologically, and we're working with each other, which is very important to having a healthy industrial ecosystem.
Sure. Did you see the article in the Free Press over the weekend on this industry? There was one about how some states are really gung-ho on this industry and others are sort of taking a more wait-and-see approach. You know, they're wondering just how quickly this this technology is going to be able to be implemented. What did you find out about that in your research? Okay, go ahead. I'm
not sure that I saw that particular article. However, I will say that that is a common theme when we talk with people in this space. Mm-hmm. And what tends to happen when we have this conversation is that people are still acknowledging that Michigan is the place to be. And I'm sure you've probably had conversations and maybe had conversations on this podcast before about the regulations in the state of Michigan, but you know, Michigan really has some of the most friendly regulations to companies who want to work in connected and automated vehicles and who want to test their products within the state. There's even a testing bed on I-69 for military trucks and convoys in order to test connected, automated, and even autonomous vehicles in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know, like, how many vehicles there are that are actually doing this? I mean, like, could you drive up to Flint and hang a right and, you know, actually see them on the road? Or is it pretty rare that they're actually out there? Do they do it in the middle of the night or something?
Yeah, you know, I don't have that data. I would love to do that research and find out, but I don't quite have that information. But my guess would be that there are probably more than people would expect.
Yeah. Well, you might not be able to tell either, because you're still going to have somebody behind the wheel of an autonomous vehicle. It's just that they're not going to be driving. They're sort of there as a fail-safe, as an emergency backup.
Exactly. And there are many levels of autonomy. You know, some of the lowest levels of autonomy are what we already have today. It's sure. A connected vehicle that might beep at you if there's a car too close. And then there's
adaptive cruise control.
Nobody's driving it.
Yeah, right. That's where you hop in the back seat and say, take me to Cleveland, right? I'd like to kill email or read a book. So what did you come up with any recommendations from the Workforce Intelligence Network research team, you know, out of this analysis?
Absolutely. So first of all, collaborate. That is the simplest, but also probably the vaguest recommendation that we could come up with. But that collaboration in any industry, while we know that there's proprietary information out there and you don't always want to tell somebody about it, collaborating and identifying people who are valuable in the space can be really great for the overall industry. This also, I would say, is what we can call a benchmark study. We would love to repeat it in the future and be able to see how the industry is shifting. Right now, those top five influencers, you know, GM, Ford, U of M, the entire ecosystem tends to move with those influencers. The decisions that they make the entire industry shift. So, you know, if we were able to repeat this study, maybe 3 years down the line, we might see a shift in the type of players within the space, since right now we're so heavy into R&D and regulations. And I would anticipate that 3 to 4 years down the line, it'll be more in manufacturing. You know, GM recently came out and stated that they are ready and they have the ability to mass produce autonomous vehicles. Hmm. There's also the U of M. The U of M testbed that they're going to be doing, where they have an autonomous vehicle, fully autonomous vehicle that they are going to be using to transport students on a very small scale coming up pretty soon. But so recommendations, collaborate with each other. Use the map to identify people who are gatekeepers who you can connect with in order to reach out to someone else you might not have been able to reach out to before. And then hopefully we can further assess the ecosystem with a benchmark study.
Mm-hmm. All right. So is this study available online somewhere?
It is. If you go to www.winintelligence.org/CAVSNA, as in Connected Automated Vehicles Social Network Analysis, you'll be able to both download the full report and see several of the maps.
Really quick, we've got about a minute left. Tell me about some of the other reports that WIN is working on.
Well, it's funny you should ask that. You know, Mike Brennan indicated that he's working on this International Cyber Week, and we are in the midst of working on a cybersecurity skills gap analysis.
Ah.
So that should be coming out probably right after the 4th of July. And that will be that will have tons of workforce data, but it will also have information about all the educational institutions providing cybersecurity training and education within Southeast Michigan, and that study will also have a number of recommendations. Previously, we also put out a connected and automated vehicle skills gap analysis, so similar to what I just mentioned with cyber, but focused on connected and automated vehicles, and that one is already available on our website. Again, winintelligence.org should have all of the reports that we put out. We also put out workforce labor reports on a pretty regular basis, and that can show how certain occupations.
All right. Tricia, thanks very much. Appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. Also, in the shameless plug department, I will tell you, just for your information, that we have a two-person autonomous taxi at Lawrence Tech, my employer, that's about to go into service later this summer, I believe. It was a research project from some of our computer science students. So the U of M isn't the only one with an autonomous taxi. We have a little two-person vehicle. Thanks for being with us, Tricia Walding, Senior Project Manager, Defense Sector Lead for the Workforce Intelligence Network for Southeast Michigan. Right now, this is Matt Rausch flying solo here today with the M Squared TechCast, and we'll be back in just a minute. Hey, it's Matt Rausch with another segment of the M Squared TechCast, and where we are part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and very proud to be. I'm here alone today. My co-host Mike Brennan is attending the 7th International Cyber Week Conference at Tel Aviv University in Israel right now. For this segment, we have Keith Brophy, State Director of the Michigan Small Business Development Center, and he has a guest that he's going to be talking to about a variety of things. So, Keith, welcome to the show, and feel free to take it away.
Thank you, Mike. And I am honored to have with me today Bhushan Kulkarni. Bhushan is the chairman of GDI Infotech and also the CEO of InfoReady, both well-known Ann Arbor companies. But we're here today to talk about a very interesting event that Bhushan is leading the charge of. Bhushan is the co-chair of the BMM BizCon 2017 event. And Bhushan, welcome, and we look forward to hearing a little bit about the event today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And first of all, I wondered if you could describe to us what the event is.
So BMM is Bruhan Maharashtra Mandal, which is a global organization that brings Indian cultural organizations from western state of Maharashtra together from all over the globe. And we had an opportunity to submit a proposal for them to them and invite them to run their convention here in Michigan. And we are fortunate enough to get selected and bring that convention to Michigan to showcase Michigan. So around 4,000 people from all over the globe will be camping out in Grand Rapids in the week of July 4th throughout the week for the convention. And we are really delighted to have this audience here to showcase them the Michigan comeback story and get them familiar with happenings in Michigan.
Now, I know on July 6th, your focus for that day's event is 21st century intelligent mobility. I wanted to ask you, is that July 6th session open to the general public, or is it restricted to the conference attendees?
It's open to all general attendees. The idea is the first day before the cultural convention starts. The cultural convention is from July 7th, 8th, and 9th. July 6th, we have a business conference, which is called BMM BizCon 2017. And the idea there is to really connect business leaders from India and from all over North America and different parts of the world to come together and discuss a variety of topics. This year, for this BizCon 2017, we selected 21st century intelligent mobility as our focus, primarily to showcase to them what's going on here in Michigan and also really have people go through a variety of different topics. The focus we have for business conference is actually twofold. One is how the world around us is going to change because of intelligent mobility. So there is a learning component around that. But more importantly, what does it mean to you for you as a professional from a career point of view? And what does that mean from career transformation point of view? But also, what does that mean to you for your business and which, for your entrepreneurship ideas? So we are envisioning that this conference would be not only helpful for matured businesses to connect with each other, but also for professionals to learn about, what can they do to transform their career as intelligent mobility provides the change what internet did to our lives.
And what kind of speakers or presentations do you have at the event to tackle that topic of 21st century intelligent mobility and even the career impact?
So we have two very distinct tracks. One we are calling BMM Shifting Gears, which if you recall, at the state level, there was a Shifting Gears program. The person who helped put that program together is going to be moderating the Shifting Gears segment of it. And the idea behind in a Shifting Gears session is really about, you know, what does it take to transform your career? So there are going to be, you know, different elements of, you know, learning from masters in terms of, you know, what has been going on in the intelligent mobility world, but also, you know, what are the steps one can take to get on the bandwagon. So, and the second session is about business-to-business bridge, which is really focused on variety of different topics related to intelligent mobility. Just to give you a feel for what's going on in the Shifting Gears session, there are going to be table topics associated in terms of what does it take, you know, from a journey from corporate world to entrepreneurship, journey from startup to building a global business, journey from being an engineer to become a CEO and building high growth company. We are also going to have a variety of entrepreneurship topics that are going to talk about what does it take to build strategy, what does it take to build a team, what does it take to build a sales model, revenue model, funding, and whatnot. And on the business-to-business bridge side, we have a variety of topics that are related to some of the challenges and opportunities in making connected vehicles safe, secure, and reliable. Topics related to telematics, vehicle communication, advancements in infotainment, intelligent transportation, and whatnot. So there's a lot to learn from speakers. We have over 37 speakers for a day-long event. But more importantly, the setup of this conference is not about just listening from the speakers, but rather connecting with the speakers. The sessions are going to be more in World Cafe format, so there are going to be a lot of engaging discussions at the table topics, but also the opportunity for attendees to connect with people and build relationships.
And that's an interesting, a very interactive approach you've taken for some of those discussion sessions. And I noticed on your attendee demographic information that you have a very savvy crowd attending. The breakdown that you have based on past events, I presume, is 65% of the attendees are engineers or IT professionals, 12% are CEOs, 20% are doctors, 90% have postgraduate degrees from U.S. universities. What is it that attracts, you know, this high-powered crowd to the event? Is it the topic selection and structure that you've put together? Or, you know, what's your key to drawing this kind of thought leader audience?
I think the key is, you know, for many times when we go for conferences, we feel that, you know, we are being lectured at. What we really want to focus on this conference are three things: that did I, you know, engage in engaging topics with my peers who are likely minded and interested in similar topics? Did I make the connections in a crowded room? How can we break the room into smaller table topics so people get to know each other? And then the last but not least, did I get a handful of takeaways that that were very valuable based on some of the experienced folks there at the conference. So we have folks ranging from, we have a CEO of Vistian there, CEO of Persistent Systems. We have John Maddox there, who's going to be talking about what's going on in Michigan with American Center for Mobility. Keith, we are also very much looking forward to your topic there in terms of what does it mean for entrepreneurship and entrepreneurs and services that are available here in Michigan as a destination for the folks who will be coming from all over.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the event and having a chance to speak to a very interesting topic and to interact with such a great crowd of attendees. I wanted to make sure, Bhushan, that we highlight where attendees can find out more information on the conference. I know you have a great and helpful website out there. And also, I thought it was worth highlighting the registration because it's a bargain for the type of dialogue that will be occurring there. So could you share with us the registration information and the website address?
It's www.tinyurl.com/bmm-bizcon. Let me repeat, www.tinyurl.com/bmm-bizcon, BIZCOM. This day-long conference fee is purposely priced at just $50 for the day. That includes breakfast and lunch and so on. And we priced it that low just to make sure that, we have an opportunity to get as many folks to connect with the people that will be coming from all over the globe.
Okay. And if you could name one key objective you'd like to see accomplished on at the BMM BizCon conference on July 6th, what would be the first one, the top one that you would highlight?
My personal goal is to showcase Michigan's turnaround and the great activities that we have going here in Michigan and especially in Michigan leading the forefront in intelligent mobility and the activities that are going here.
All right, gentlemen, thanks very much. We've run out of time for this segment, but thank you very much. Keith Brophy, State Director of the Michigan Small Business Development Center, and Bhushan Kulkarni, Chairman of GDI Infotech and CEO of InfoReady Corporation, and also co-chair of BBM BizCon 2017. That's a conference taking place on July 6th in Grand Rapids. Thanks very much to both you gentlemen. For right now, this is Matt Rausch with the M Squared TechCast. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Matt Rausch, and we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. I hope I have on the line Sabrina Collins.
I am here. How
Yay.
You doing, Matt?
Okay. Sabrina is director of the Lawrence Technological University, where I work, LTU's Marburger STEM Center, which is sort of the central clearinghouse now for all of LTU's K-12 and STEM education outreach efforts at all levels. Sabrina, you're here to discuss quite a few things today. Why don't we start out with the LTU summer camps that are going on right now? I understand they pretty much filled up.
Yeah, which is great for us. So our high school summer camps are currently underway. They're filled to capacity, which is great for us. Five summer camps are actually underway. Biotechnology, where students will genetically engineer bacteria, which sounds gross and cool to me.
A little scary, too.
Yeah, a little scary. Machining and fabrication, well, they'll learn about electrical circuits, interpret blueprints. Psychology, where they understand how the brain works, and sketching for architecture and design, and also web design. And these summer camps are a really important feeder for us because 48% of the students that participate in these summer camps actually enroll at Lawrence Tech. So they're very important for us.
We've got some middle school kids in too, right?
Right, and so what we've established, we have a middle school summer camp specifically for one of our DPS partners, Samson Weber Leadership Academy, and that will kick off. That's going to be the last 2 weeks in July, with the first day with a session entitled "You Be the Engineer." That'll be led by an LTU graduate, Thomas Phillips, LTU graduate in engineering and also a DPS graduate. And so basically it's a parent and students activity. They're going to work together to build a city using Legos. So I think that's pretty cool to kick that off.
Right. And there's also some camps that take place at LTU that we don't actually run. I know the Michigan Council of Women in Technology has been doing Camp Infinity there, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I had a chance to go over and visit and see these young ladies with all this energy and excitement about STEM. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Camp Infinity is run by the Michigan Council for Women in Technology.
All right. So tell us, I guess for people who aren't familiar, give us some quick background on what the Marburger STEM Center is and how it came to be.
Well, basically, it's the clearinghouse, as you said, or the home of all of the STEM and STEAM initiatives taking place on campus. And so these initiatives include our summer camps, which are targeted towards high school students and led by our fabulous LTU faculty. Another initiative is RoboFest, which is a robotics outreach competition, and the Blue Devil Scholars Program, also known as the Blue Devil Promise, which is a partnership with the Detroit Public Schools. But actually, the STEM Center, the Marburger STEM Center, actually came to be because of a wonderful donation from Mr. Steve Ballmer a few years ago, a $20 million donation, which led to establishing this wonderful STEM Center. And we are forever grateful to Mr. Ballmer for his leadership and vision and donation to make this possible.
Well, the story I hear about Steve Ballmer, and someone will correct me if this is not entirely correct, but this is the legend anyway, is that he was a brilliant high school student who came into Lawrence Tech in the summer and took every math class that Lawrence Tech offered at that point, you know, calculus right up to the top.
Right,
And aced them all, and those credits allowed him to enter Harvard as a sophomore. So he went into the sophomore dorm, which is where he met Bill Gates. And the rest
exactly.
is Microsoft history. So if it hadn't been for Lawrence Tech, he would have gone into Harvard as a freshman and he might never have met Bill Gates.
Exactly, exactly. And because of that experience, you know, when the STEM Center was established, he wanted to have Dr. Marburger's name, you know, affiliated with it because he made such a great impression on him and gave him an opportunity to come here and do those dual enrollment courses, as you're talking about.
Right.
Absolutely.
So what is a Marburger STEM Center ambassador? I hear we're establishing an ambassador's program.
Yeah, so basically it's a pilot program where we want to get our LTU students directly involved with the work of the center. And so that was a recommendation from our faculty and deans. And it's a great way for the students to be involved with the STEM Center. And basically the ambassadors will be delivering fun hands-on activities in the classrooms of our DPS partners, our K-12 partners, I should say. And we're still working out the details, but you know the thing is, students want to hear from other students. They want to hear from younger students, not necessarily from old folks like you and I, about why LTU is a great place. You know, they want to hear from students who are actually pursuing degrees. And so it's a great way for the students to be involved with the work of the center, recruitment and retention. And also really getting young people excited about coming to LTU to earn a degree.
Sure. And so that'll be something for our students internally then, that they'll be able to get more information about that soon. Okay. So we have, I know as an institution, a pretty special relationship with a K-8 school, kind of a magnet school within the Detroit Public Schools called the Samson Weber Academy on the west side.
Right.
So I don't know if you know how that came about, but I just kind of wanted you to give me some details on what that relationship entails and a little bit about the event we had last week where we cut the ribbon on an outdoor classroom.
Yeah, so basically on June 19th, we had a ribbon-cutting ceremony for our outdoor classroom project at Samson Weber Leadership Academy. And basically that outdoor classroom project, it consists of solar panels, flower beds, so students can do some gardening, rainwater collection system, and it's really a nice educational tool. And what I can tell you is that basically, the Samson Weber students were directly involved in actually helping to build this outdoor classroom. They actually helped create the seating platform. So there are three seating platforms. So these young people learned about measuring, learned about, actually using tools and looking at sketches and drawings. It was really a hands-on type of project, and it's really aligned with the motto for our university, theory and practice. These young people actually practice what they learned, and so it's going to be a wonderful educational tool for the entire school to utilize this space. Well, they'll learn about gardening, solar energy, and other important, fun, hands-on topics.
Right, and they were involved. I was there for an event earlier in the spring in which they were actually using tools and learning basic carpentry skills, which I thought was interesting.
They're very cool. Yeah, very cool. And they are very proud of their work. These kids work really, really hard, and I think the classroom looks awesome. It's going to be a great addition for the fall 2017-2018 academic year.
So what's going to happen with the electricity that outdoor classroom canopy is generating? Is that just going to go into the grid into the school, or how's that going to work?
Right. It's going to go into the grid in the school. Absolutely.
Okay. So I know you've been at Lawrence Tech, a little over a year now?
Well, almost a year.
Almost a year, okay.
My one-year anniversary is coming up on Saturday.
Well, congratulations. But I wanted to know if you knew, how did we happen to have that relationship with Samson Weber? Do you happen to know who started that or how that came about?
Well, it was started by a couple of faculty members in the College of Architecture and Design, I believe. They came up with an idea and there are several other, and so this was started about 3 years ago, to my knowledge. So I don't have the full details, but it was an idea that came about from one or two faculty members in the College of Architecture and Design. And by 2017, we are now with a new outdoor classroom.
All right. So tell me a little bit about the Blue Devil Scholars / Blue Devil Promise program. I know that involves that school as well.
Right. So that's actually a separate, the Blue Devil Scholars, Blue Devil Promise, so that's a separate program from the Outdoor Classroom Project. And it's actually similar to, I would say, the Detroit Promise. whereas the whole point is to enhance the STEAM curriculum in DPS schools and institutions, where basically the students, so it focuses on Samson Weber Leadership Academy and also Northwestern Collegiate Prep, so the high school. So when the students graduate from Samson Weber, they go on and enroll at Northwestern. They'll graduate from high school with not only a high school diploma, but also a certificate representing 12 to 15 college credit hours that they can use at Lawrence Tech towards a STEAM degree, and they get scholarship support. And so there are five different tracks that a student can choose from, one being architecture, another art and design, mathematics and science, engineering and technology, and mathematics. And included in that program, so it's four different components. Obviously, academic preparation is what I just described, but professional development for the teachers, because the teachers are the ones in the classrooms working directly with the students. So we have a service component where we have professional development workshops specifically for the parents, and also employment opportunities when the students are in the 10th grade, and then scholarships. One particular parent engagement event, a couple that we've actually held at Samson Weber, was a STEMstation night, which was a lot of fun. So we had six STEAM stations set up, and parents and kids had a passport, and they were going from station to station, and they can complete the passport, and they had a chance to win those virtual reality Google Cardboard glasses. So that was a lot of fun. And another activity, parent engagement activity, was a computer coding workshop that we led for parents at the school. So we're making some progress and having a lot of fun along the way.
All right. So if people want more information about the Marburger STEM Center, where should they go online?
They should go to www.ltu.edu/STEM-center/. And that's it.
All right. Thanks very much, Sabrina Collins, director of the Marburger STEM Center at Lawrence Technological University. Yeah, that's my employer, so we have to ring the plug bell. Okay. Thanks
right.
for being with
Thank
us today. And thanks to all of our guests today. Keith Brophy, State Director of the Michigan Small Business Development Council. Bhushan Kulkarni, Chairman of GDI Infotech and InfoReady Corporation. Tricia Walding of the Workforce Intelligence Network, and our old buddy Mike Brennan, my co-host, who will be back this weekend from Israel. He's currently attending the 7th International Cyber Week at Tel Aviv University. Also wanted to mention, we had someone here today who we got our signals mixed up, Shelley Freeman from the city of Southfield. She wanted me to mention there's a whole bunch of cool events going on in Southfield as it continues to try to build a walkable downtown in the city center area along Evergreen and Northwestern Highway. Those include Eat to the Beat coming up the second Thursday of every month with food trucks and live music at lunchtime. It's a lot of fun. Also, check out, if you would, an effort called Red Pole Park, where they're building a unique walking path along Northwestern Highway near Civic Center Drive in Evergreen that's going to have a very unique art installation that you can donate to. And the website for that is patronicity.com/Red Pole Park. And patronicity is patronicity. Well, I think that about covers it. We're done for the week. This is Matt Rausch signing off with the M Squared TechCast. We'll see you again on Monday, July 10th.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.